It's 7 minutes after 10. I'm Kara Lawrence. My guests today are two young composers who have collaborated on a concert that will be held Saturday at Kalamazoo College, a program beginning at 8 p.m. It's presented by Apex Contemporary Performance, and the title of the program is Something to Hunt. Welcome to Garrett Schumann and Adam Shoemaker. Nice to have you here.
Hello, thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Kara.
Yes, Adam, you're here with a different hat on today.
You're right, yeah.
We talked about Keys Fest last week, but this is your part, an enormous part of your identity. You are a composer of contemporary music.
So. It's shocking but true.
Yeah. but let's put the spotlight on Garrett here, who I have yet to enjoy the presence of in my studio. So, Garrett, would you give us a little background on you as a musician and your interest in sharing new music with audiences in Kalamazoo?
Absolutely. So I am, unlike Adam, I'm not a native Michigander. I came to Michigan in 2010 to do my graduate work at the University of Michigan.
From where?
I went to Rice University in Houston, Texas for my undergrad, and then but I did high school in Connecticut, so I've kind of bounced around at least the eastern and western, midwestern parts of the country. And Michigan is a wonderful place. I have really enjoyed getting to know it. My wife is a native Ann Arborite, so I've really, I can't quite call myself a Michigander, but I think I'm getting close. But after finishing my doctorate in 2015, I started Apex Contemporary Performance with a conductor colleague of mine, Kevin Fitzgerald, who's our music director and will be conducting a couple pieces on Saturday. And we, it was the summer after we had finished our graduate degrees, his master's, mine, my doctorate, and we were lamenting how there weren't many opportunities for people who are really passionate about contemporary music in our part of the state. And we decided instead of whining that we would just try to start our own thing. And our first concert was in December 2015 in Ypsilanti, which is where I live now. And this concert on Saturday will be our 16th concert or community music presentation since December 2015. So this is our third season, and we've been very, very busy. This will be our second concert in Kalamazoo. We did a performance at on campus right here at Western Michigan last January, a year ago tomorrow. And it's really exciting to be back in Kalamazoo because Kalamazoo has this amazing local infrastructure for arts projects that are focused on presenting interesting things to the community here. And so we've really found a little bit of a foothold. And our goal with Apex is to present contemporary music, the music of rarely performed and underrepresented composers from around the world, to audiences in Michigan. We're really focused on trying to have as broad a footprint in Michigan as we can. And so Kalamazoo has been a very welcoming place to help us do that. And we're hoping to expand and do concerts all over the state. But I think Kalamazoo will always play a big role because it's been such a welcoming place.
I'm wondering if when you were with your friend deciding how to structure this project for Apex Contemporary Performance, did you look to some earlier examples? Some famous ensembles that come to mind are Crash Ensemble, mm-hmm. or Bang on a Can. Is it Intercontemporary?
Ensemble Intercontemporain?
Yeah.
Well, Kevin is speaking of Ensemble Intercontemporain, Kevin is a huge fan of European modernist composers, and so he loves their programming, and we try to do things that they have done, but also program as diversely as possible. So at Michigan, there were a lot of student performance ensembles that would start with friends of ours in graduate programs who would get together and, you know, make a band, basically, and play music and commission pieces for them. And we wanted to do something a little bit different because he's a conductor, I'm a composer, I really can't perform at all. And one of the challenges of having a fixed roster is that you always have to program for that roster. And so we consider ourselves more of a presenter, like we hire performers. We have a group of musicians across the state who and elsewhere who we go back to working with. So there's consistency with our personnel, but it's really based on the programming first. And so that gives us a lot of flexibility, like if we have it in our budget to do a few ensemble pieces, like we have two ensemble pieces on this program, we can do that. Or our first concert this year, which was in Ann Arbor, was just a solo violinist. And so we try to vary our programming, and it helps us always embrace new types of presentations and also do performances in different places than you would traditionally have a concert.
And I think it gives you a better shot at longevity.
We would like to hope.
Because you know what happens to bands? They break up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it can be challenging. We've seen a similar pattern with our friends and colleagues at the University of Michigan. Students are together in Ann Arbor. They start a group, and then they end up going to other parts of the country, and they have the challenge of trying to keep working together. And with us, we try to keep consistency, but we can always, you know, adjust our programming based on who's available and who we can get. And that has made it fun and the variety of things that we've been able to do over the last three seasons. So,
what does this Saturday's concert look like? You mentioned types of ensembles, but is there a theme?
Well, the name of the concert, Something to Hunt, is the final piece on the program. It's by an American composer named Ashley Feuer, who we've been trying to program for a long time. And so for us as an organization, it's fulfilling a dream of ours to program her music. The general theme with the pieces, so there are five works, all by composers, well, mostly American composers. Edgar Barroso, who's one of the composers, is Mexican but was educated in the United States, and so we try to highlight both composers who don't normally get performances in Michigan or elsewhere, but also a diverse group of composers and people who are doing really interesting things. And what is connects all of these pieces, including the world premiere of Adam's piano pieces, is they have pretty simple traditional musical materials in terms of melody and harmony, but many of them go wild in other ways, particularly in terms of timbre, which is the term we use to describe like instrumental sound. And in particular, the final two pieces on the program, Edgar Barroso's Kuanasi Uato, which is for a small chamber group, and then Ashley Feuer's Something to Hunt, which is for a larger chamber group, they employ a number of what we refer to as extended techniques, so ways to perform the instruments that go beyond what you would normally expect. And the result is hearing sounds that you wouldn't normally identify with the instrument that's producing them, mm-hmm. but also this intensification of focus on like rhythm and the intensity of instruments playing together. And so all these pieces are basically limiting their melody and harmony to highlight these other elements of musical sound, which maybe we don't focus on as much in traditional classical music. So that's kind of the through line with all of them.
Extended techniques.
I'd also add that structure plays a big part in some of these pieces. So the, you know, like Garrett said, not focusing on melody and harmony as much as section by section or how the piece evolves.
Are you concerned with who you're sharing this concert with, Adam? I mean, it's good enough just to have a performance of brand new of your own work. But do you seek connections with the other contemporary composers that are featured on the program?
You said concerned. They are all fantastic composers, so I do feel a little intimidated sometimes.
I didn't mean it quite like that. I meant just like, do you even bother to learn about them, or do you feel you owe them the a little exploration as long, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons I was excited to help bring Apex back to Kalamazoo, specifically Kalamazoo College, is because you know, they program such interesting and diverse pieces by living composers. You know, these are people who are our age doing things and making waves in new music. And seeing, you don't get a chance to see that a lot, I guess, in towns like ours and other places. And so having these works come to Kalamazoo College stage, this Saturday is really exciting for me personally as a composer. Mm-hmm. I'm also hoping that some students take advantage of this because, again, like, you're not going to hear this music performed many places.
If they're music students, they need to accustom their ear to all kinds of new music as they may become performers or frequently come have these scores presented to them as performers in the future too.
And they might find a sound that they've never heard before and they might fall in love with that. Hence, you know, another spin on the title, something to hunt, you know, hunting for those sounds and rich timbres.
Well, and we were talking earlier this morning about how timbre, this idea of instrumental sound, is really a defining force in all music since World War II. The invention of first analog and then digital means to produce synthesized sound and modify recorded sound, electric instruments, all of these technological innovations that have defined not only the kind of music that composers like Adam, earlier generations of composers like me and Adam have written, but also pop artists from Bob Dylan to Kanye West, you know, all of these creators that are part of this big world of music from the late 20th century to today, you can see how timbre is a really interesting subject that they're exploring. And so it's really topical in a way to the themes that are defining all of the music we hear, exploring sound as a goal instead of harmony. You know, that's harmony and melody as a goal is more a defining characteristic of traditional classical music. And now, particularly with new technologies and part of it, you could consider these extended techniques I was talking about as like part of those new developments to produce new sounds. It's all part of the same trend. And so I think anyone, whether they're a music student or a music lover, just curious to come, our motto at Apex Contemporary Performance is hear different. They're just interested in hearing something new, hearing something different. I think they'll be used to listening for timbre, at least in the back of their mind from all the music they listen to, and so they'll be able to connect with the pieces along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Garrett, how much time do you spend organizing Apex and sort of fostering a community of new music composers?
Well, I love that you use the word community because that's really how we see our role is like building a community infrastructure for this kind of music, not only in Southeast Michigan, where we're more geographically based, but across the state. I feel like Apex is a really, really big part of my life, like one of those really big parts of my life that I don't even know if I could keep track of how much time I spend on it. But it's something that one of the reasons that I wanted to work with Kevin when we were developing Apex as an idea was I've always been dreaming of ways of how to connect people, not necessarily musically educated or professional musicians, but anyone with this music that I care about. And I've always thought that as long as I'm putting something forward that I believe in, whether it's a piece that I've written or a piece that I programmed, that people will sense that and might be willing to meet me halfway. So that's something I think about all the time. What are new ways that we can let people know about what Apex is doing? What are things we can do in terms of our programming to continue to involve new people and build new audiences? It's something I think about all the time, just like I'm composing all the time in my head, too. They're competing factions in my brain.
My guest is Garrett Schumann and Adam Shoemaker, and the concert is this Saturday, February 3rd, at Kalamazoo College in the Dalton Theater. Music begins at 8 p.m., and it is a ticketed event. Tickets available at the door. It is free for K College students, faculty, and staff. Again, there's another reason for students to listen up and be there on Saturday night. Garrett, maybe you could tell me something about a piece you brought along of your own music.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to share that. And tell me about the circumstances when it was first performed.
So this piece that we're about to hear is the first movement from a set of miniatures I wrote for String Trio a couple years ago called Moments, because each one was a little independent musical space. And this one is it's subtitled Concatenation, which means sort of coming together and connecting in a sort of chain sort of thing. And so the piece is about the three instruments, violin, viola, and cello, working together and then being in different rhythmic spaces and connecting and disconnecting over the course of it. And this was first performed and it was premiered in Ann Arbor and then also featured on our program last January at Western Michigan University.
And this is from a live performance?
Yes, this is from that concert.
I'm with Gerrit Schumann, who composed that piece, sort of moment musico for the string trio. And that is from a live performance held last year at Western Michigan University. Very well performed and, you know, accessible music to my ear. I'm hearing, you know, interplay of rhythms and kind of motives. This is where you follow... recognizable patterns around concatenation of some. Is that the word you used?
Concatenation. I bet we're all pronouncing it our own way, and none of us are probably right. I like to think a lot of, when I write pieces. I generally use motives in this way, and rhythmic counterpoint like that, or rhythmic energy like this piece. Expresses is something I'm really into because one of my biggest musical influences is heavy metal, actually. And I've done I teach at Western Michigan, which is one of the reasons I've been able to get to know Kalamazoo more. I teach music theory classes there, and I've done a lot of music theory research on heavy metal, actually, and presented it at conferences all over, like in Finland and across the country. And so it's something that it's a huge part of my life that seeps into the music I create in a variety of ways. This is one of the more transparent connections because there's some good driving rhythms that are characteristic of heavy metal, but there are a lot of other ways that it finds its way into my music.
It was a pretty headbanging track, so I don't know.
I'm with Garrett Schumann and Adam Shoemaker, who are both, well, Adam is represented as a composer on Saturday's concert, and Garrett is organizer of Apex Contemporary Performance. I'm curious to, what are some of your theories about the intersection of heavy metal and art music?
Well, first of all, composers and Adams and my generation, and frankly composers long before us, are increasingly influenced by popular music. There's not as much, I mean, I don't really know if there was that much of a stigma to begin with, because composers going as, you know, Vivaldi, for example, when he included clarinets in his oratorio Juditha Triumphans, it's because he heard street performers playing clarinets and decided to include those in his piece, even though they weren't like an official classical music instrument. So composers for generations have been taking from vernacular styles and bringing it into a quote-unquote higher art setting, which, you know, that terminology is loaded.
Yeah, but it does nobody any favors.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for me, heavy metal is a genre that really influences virtuosity, both from a performance standpoint and a composition standpoint, much like classical music. It's sort of built into the genre that people are going to be able to play their instruments at a very high level and also write interesting music at a high level. And so I think that's a strong overlap. And when I started composing when I was 16 years old, and I first wrote music on my electric guitar playing heavy metal songs in a band. So it's inextricably linked with my creativity. And then in terms of the academic research, it's very surprising to people that, you know, there would be things to study in heavy metal, but because of this, the sort of inherent iconoclasm of the genre. It's not trying to be mainstream. It's not trying to be conformist. It's all about picking up symbols, either in the sound of the instruments or in the lyrics or in the imagery, that are not accepted by society, and then celebrating them and creating beautiful things out of them, whether that's the devil or an overdriven guitar. And because of that, a lot of the way heavy metal songs are composed is very interesting. And so there is a lot to study. And the first conference I attended was in Finland, and it was this international academic conference on heavy metal, which is something that I didn't even know existed. And from that point, I've had a couple things published, and I just went to UNC Greensboro last semester as a guest faculty member, because one of their music theorists also studies heavy metal. And so there's a small but dedicated group of music theorists who are really passionate about heavy metal and studying it. And so I make my students at Western listen to it too, which some of them like and some of them really don't like, but it's you know, certainly a very interesting and open frontier for study. So.
Yeah, but you've also positioned yourself for in at least two ways, defending something that most people don't understand, and that must be kind of tiring or lonely at times.
Well, I think that in terms of the sort of defending new music or with my composing, the way I compose is I try to write very personal pieces, and that has to be lonely, because I'm trying to look inward and express things I experience in my life. Like the last piece I wrote was about my experience with my soon-to-be one-year-old niece, and it was really about like drawing from my early experiences with her, like what can I make a piece about this. And so by trying to express in a personal way things that I've gone through in my life, not that they're necessarily dramatic or anything, that kind of limit cuts me off from what other people are doing, because I'm trying to find a very sincere way to express what I've experienced. So that is lonely. The heavy metal thing, at least from an academic standpoint, the community of music theorists, and again, there aren't very many of us, but we're very passionate and we're like a family. And the guy Capuzzo, the theorist at UNC Greensboro, who had me as a guest last semester, he heard about me through a violist who performed there, and he immediately wrote me an email that started, "My brother and metal. I need send me your research. I need to have you come." And so that doesn't feel as isolating. And it's also really fun when you're teaching music theory, and I teach the last two semesters of the basic theory sequence at Western, and So we're dealing with a lot of traditional classical music, and so to be able to throw in some like Swedish technical death metal is a great change of pace, and it's cool to just wonder if whoever installed the speakers in the room ever thought that something like this would cross the transom of those JBL speakers. And so that's fun.
You get to lay it down on some young people too. Yeah. That's great.
I think I have a new life goal. I want somebody to email me with "my brother in," whatever that is. That's...
Oh, well.
Haven't you gotten an email that says "my brother-in-law"?
No.
No.
No. No, Adam, could we hear a little piece that you wrote help preview this concert, which again I will say is at 8 o'clock on Saturday at the Dalton Theater of the Light Fine Arts Building at Kalamazoo College, and is presented by a contemporary music ensemble called Apex Contemporary Performance, which is organized by Garrett Schumann and Kevin Fitzgerald. I think you said your partner was.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
So, Adam, tell me about Relaxation number 4. Actually, I'm pretty familiar with this one.
Oh, yeah. So this was from a concert I did a couple of years ago when I was just getting back into presenting my music. And I got a grant through the Arts Council, the Caddy grant, and produced a full concert of all of my music that hadn't been performed in a while or that I needed to finish and have performed. Two of those pieces were large works. And so this piece is it's been a favorite of mine. And this recording is actually performed by Derek Hertzer in the Gaggy School gym. We did it late at night, and it was a recording we did ourselves. And Cassandra Kazor has played this before, and I thought it was most representative of the pieces that I'll be presenting on the concert. It is a solo piano, like the pieces, the Glass Studies that are getting their premiere. And the Relaxation was specifically written for, of all things, a hospital bed produced by Stryker. And so it was kind of a weird little commission that led into these artistic solo extended piano pieces. And this one's a little more friendly than the 20-minute one that doesn't really go beyond three notes at a time. That's Relaxation number 4. And so that's kind of in thinking about the Glass Studies that I'm doing, which are a little more polyrhythmic and shifting.
Is that a reference to the composer or to the substance?
Yes, the composer. So the Glass Studies that are being premiered on Saturday were kind of my in-between big project pieces just for fun.
Yeah.
And so just when I had a minute playing with the kids, I'd sit down at the piano and sketch out some ideas. And I sketched out about 7 ideas, and I've produced 3 completed pieces so far. And they're just little composer studies for myself. Lots of polyrhythms and shifting tonalities and shifting triadic sounds that are fun for me personally and kind of speak to my language.
Well, let's hear music of Adam Shoemaker.
Thank you.
That's music of Adam Shoemaker, a Kalamazoo composer, here in the studio with me, along with the director of the Apex Contemporary Performance Organization, Garrett Schumann. The concert is Something to Hunt, and it's at Kalamazoo College this Saturday at 8 p.m. Adam, that is so beautiful that it's probably important to point out that that is just one of the styles in which you're able to write. But that is pure, you know, pure beauty, relaxation. I can see you said something about a hospital bed.
Yeah, so I kind of kept my tonality really controlled in that piece that we just heard.
But I know you can get a lot wilder.
Yeah, so these glass studies are not too wild, but they will move tonality much more often.
And who's the performer again this Saturday?
So Justin Snyder, who I have not met. We have a Skype date soon to go over the pieces, but he's been working with Apex for some time. He's a contemporary pianist.
He lives in Ypsilanti, and he's a terrific soloist who performs all over the world and happens to live in our backyard, and was the artist in residence for Apex last season, and is a fantastic player and always a joy to work with. So we're really excited that Adam gave us an excuse to collaborate with Justin one more time.
It'll be great to have him in Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited.
And he played, when we had our concert at WMU last year, he played some solo pieces too. So he's, I guess, notching a little, a little soloist foothold here, I suppose.
Can people discover everything you've been up to online? Do you have a website and maybe links to performers and biographies and things?
Yeah, so we, Apex has a website. It's apexcontemporary.org. That's apexcontemporary.org. You can, if you visit our homepage, you'll get a link to get tickets for Saturday's concert. So if you don't want to get them at the door, you can get them right there. And we also have a Facebook page. So if you search for Apex Contemporary, we spell Apex with this ligature A, the A-E thing, but I think if you just type in Apex spelled just in any reasonable way, you'll be able to find us on Facebook. And
that's
we are live streaming the concert as well. So if you can't make it to Kalamazoo College, you can catch a video, a very nicely produced video rendering of it, live video on our Facebook page. And our website has information about our upcoming concerts and past programs, and links to some of the featured performers that we worked with, including our first concert this season featured this wonderful violinist from New York who named Heinel Pibnik, who also teaches at Interlaken. And so if any of your listeners are ever up there in the summer, you might run into her there. She's great. And you can find more about her at our website. And then also our upcoming, we're doing a production of this chamber opera called As One in Ann Arbor in April. So you can learn more about that there too.
Do people travel to see contemporary music? I think there's a strong enough interest among certain people to you know, spend a couple hours of travel to get to exciting performances.
Well, I do know of people in Michigan and in Ohio. In Northwest Ohio, there's a big community of people who go to Cleveland or the Southeast Michigan to see concerts of contemporary music. And then starting last season, we've been live streaming concerts on our Facebook page, just like we're doing on Saturday. And we've gotten thousands of views from all over the world. So there is an appetite for this programming. And one of the challenges is trying to focus that when you're a presenter and build energy towards it, particularly when you're doing things that are new and different. But we found that people in Michigan, and this as a non-Michigander, this is something I've observed in my time living in the state, is that people in Michigan, like, if you are bringing something here for them and for their community and trying to do something new and make something, it's almost this sort of like old-fashioned American spirit of creating something in Michigan. And I think To whatever extent Apex has succeeded over the last few seasons, it's been our ability to engage with that and demonstrate that contemporary music, as maybe esoteric or strange as it can be part of that defining community experience that we all look for wherever we live, and we happen to be in Michigan.
I had a guest come in to talk about live theater, but this could be applied to live music as well. The fact that you disengage with your phone and social media and then are aware of the presence of others sharing the same experience is one of those deeply kind of healing, good for you sort of activities that it turns out can leave you feeling so much better. Mm-hmm. After a performance, even a brand new things that can shock or can disturb and also be surprisingly beautiful, mm-hmm. You know, at times.
I think it's important for us to like you said, disconnect, but to also have new things come into our artistic frame or our ears in this case. And disrupt that, you know, if we're doing the same thing day in, day out, attached to the same devices, looking at the same stuff, getting the same algorithms, you know, pumped through our brains, we never really get a chance to see what might else be going on up there. So I encourage people to come in and, you know, try and listen and hear different, because it's a good, healthy thing for your soul and your brain and your mind.
Well said, Adam. So tell me about some of the other voices on this program. What kind of music does Cassandra Kazor or Matthew Taylor write?
Well, Cassandra is a wonderful young composer who we're probably about the same age. So I'm sorry, Cassandra, I'm not trying to patronize you.
I think she's a little younger than you, Garrett.
But thanks. No, so she's a wonderful young composer who's based in Chicago, but is a WMU grad. And Adam actually recommended we look her up, and we found this terrific solo viola piece called Secondhand Smoke, which will be performed on the concert. And it's a really beautifully written solo. It's kind of intense and melodically taut piece. It's very like suspenseful and then kind of explodes towards the end of the piece. And it's just terrific, really dramatic in the way that we try to look for it with pieces that we program. And then Matthew is a great composer who I met doing a composer workshop over the summer. He teaches at Middlebury College and has a he is a saxophonist himself. This piece is for saxophone and bass clarinet, and
really?
The piece is this kind of barbaric escapade between the two of them, with this sort of like primal, like a lot of primal sounds coming from the instruments using different extended techniques like we've talked about, that he's really familiar with because he's a saxophonist, and sort of, you know, some sounds that you might, your listeners, if they listen to like hard jazz might be used to, like some of the grittier saxophone sounds.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, he has a, it's really...
multiphonics.
It's really, yeah, multiphonics, and it's really visceral, and that's the opening piece on the program, and it's like an explosive start of the program. And he's a terrific guy, a terrific composer, and who I couldn't wait to have a chance to program after meeting him this summer. And then of course we have Adam too, so we've got a great representation of two composers with Michigan connections, because we like to highlight artists that are from Michigan, live in Michigan, but we're also bringing in some voices from elsewhere in the country, elsewhere in the world, to round out the program. And we really value programming diversely as well. So we have two female composers, two non-white composers, and that's something that is really important to Apex's mission and becoming increasingly more important to music programming overall, as we realize the value that different voices can bring to our world and society.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge discussion right now. Mm-hmm. And you're working positively to bring a variety of voices to this concert on Saturday. Begins at 8 o'clock. Your performers, are they also mostly from the east side of the state? You put them together in the Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti mm-hmm. area.
So the ensemble players and the piano soloist are all from the east side of the state. And then the violist, who's performing Cassandra's piece, is actually in the Kalamazoo Symphony. Unfortunately, their name escapes me at this moment. But they're a Kalamazoo resident. But it's easier with the ensemble pieces for everyone to be in the same place, because as much as I enjoy commuting from Ypsilanti to Kalamazoo to teach at Western, I wouldn't want to make all of our performers have to do that too much. So,
well, we're just about at the end of the hour. I want you to think about what piece we can use to take us out of the hour to up to the news. And also want you to think about any final things we may have forgotten to mention.
I'll just say, I want to just highlight a few partners. So, Kalamazoo College Department of Music is helping us present this on Saturday. And they've been a big help with the space and the programs and whatnot and the details. And then we're also streaming with Public Media, Public Media Net, and also the Arts Council helped fund that. So we're really appreciative for their support.
Absolutely.
Great. Anything else from you, Garrett?
No, I think Matt Taylor's piece, The Reaction, which is for solo baritone, might be a fun way to go out, because we haven't heard anything for voice yet. And this is the baritone soloist is a guy named Carl DuPont, and he's going to be releasing this on an album at some point. So if we get it in people's ear, maybe we can push some record sales.
Well, I hope this is not the last time I see you, Garrett, and of course Adam. So thank you very much for joining me today on WMUK to preview this concert. Again, 8 o'clock Saturday night. Details at apexcontemporary.org, apexcontemporary.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kara.